Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord Jesus, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your anointing, Lord, to rest upon the remaining time of this service. Help us, Lord, to be led of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to speak words that would bring glory and honor to your name. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, and reading beginning with verse number 7. How the church responds to crisis. How the church responds to crisis. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. These are times of crisis. These are days of uncertainty. And everywhere you look, and in every respect in our world today, there is trouble and uncertainty and crisis. And so the church, when I speak of the church, I'm just talking about not necessarily you and me, the local church here. I'm talking about how Christians respond, how the body of Christ responds. You know, Christians, everything about us is different than the world, or it should be. And even the way that we respond to certain things that we face in our life, it ought to be different. And so we want to look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about how that we can face a crisis time. Heard about a weatherman the other day who came and came with his forecast, and he said, "Well, the weather this week is going to be unpredictable." His job is to predict the weather, but we all know, if you've listened to enough weather reports, that a lot of times they do their best, but it's not always predictable. And we are living in uncertain times, unpredictable times. We do not know what another day is going to bring. It really, if you pay much attention to the news, and my advice is don't get all consumed with listening and watching the news. If you do, then you're going to find yourself absolutely caught up in the despair of the world situation today, because it does seem like things are spinning out of control. And from every respect, politically, we're probably in the biggest mess we've ever been in. And we can't necessarily point our fingers at any one person. We have to realize that there's just a whole lot of people in politics who they really don't know what to do. And they don't have answers. They think they do oftentimes, but they don't know what to do about situations that we're in today. I know you're hearing so much about the national economy that you don't want to hear about it, so I won't belabor that point except just to say there we're almost $15 trillion in debt in America now. Every second, it accumulates another $100,000. Every second. It's spinning out of control, the debt situation in our country. And why are we in this predicament that we're in? Not just the economy, but everything that's going on. We know that you can look at the Word of God. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 15. And you could see that associated with the blessing of the Lord was that we would loan to nations and bless nations. But then the curse would be that we would be a debtor nation. And so it's associated with a turn away from God, a turn away from truth. And so the crisis of the hour, well, while it may not be presented that way in the news media, the crisis of the hour is a spiritual crisis. It is a moral crisis. And it's a result of a turning away from the truth. And it should not be that way in the church. Sad to say, in many cases, and even in the church world today, instead of the church being the place where you can find answers. And I have to be honest, I don't have the answers, but I know how to go to the Word of God. And the more that we are driven to the Word of God, and that's really what crisis should do in every Christian's life. When you're faced with trouble or crisis or unanswered questions, you should go to God and you should go to the Word of God, because there are answers in the Word of the Lord. There are answers that God can speak to you concerning your crisis and your situation. And that's what would happen in the United States of America if there would be a major shift of turning back to God, back to the Word of God, and to prayer and to calling upon the name of the Lord. I believe that God once again would smile on this nation. I believe that that things could be turned around, and the only answer is national revival, a national return to God. But the sad predicament is, in many cases, church is cold and so backslidden and so lacking as far as spiritual fervor and spiritual life that the church does not have the answers. It's not offering the answers. And oh, God, help us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and confess to the Lord, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're looking to you. And we're trusting that you are going to provide answers in the situations that we are in today. We have a generation of youth today that are bound by the enemy. And many don't even understand what it is to be responsible. A generation that's growing up, young adults who don't understand responsibility. Much of what's going on in England with all of these riots that are going on has to do with that age group of young people, young adults, and late teens who feel like that they're not getting what they believe they deserve, entitlements, that they think that they deserve. And so they're going to the streets, and there are mobs and all kinds of things. And I just heard about this. I'm always late on finding out what people are doing in the world. But that now there's a thing that they're doing called their flash mobs. If you've heard about this, but it'll be as many as 30, 40, 50 young people, and they'll go rushing into a place of business, like a convenience store or a business, and they all go in together, and they're all going in so many different directions, and they're filling their pockets with things, and 40 or 50 people can go in and steal from that store, and the proprietors, they can't do anything about it. There's so many of them, and it happens so fast. So these flash mobs, this is a cultural phenomenon that is happening in our country and in other places around the world, because people believe that they have a right. They deserve things that they haven't worked for or earned. That's the generation that we're dealing with today. I'm going through some of these things that relate the fact that we are in a crisis in our country. We're in a crisis in our land. There is a crisis, and there has to be a response. The church has to have a response to what's going on. And if you're in a personal crisis in your own life, then there is a biblical way to respond to the crisis of your life. There's some suggestions here from the Word of God. Here today are not suggestions, but this is the truth of God's Word. It's not just a suggestion. It's God's Word. This is what we need to be doing. The Apostle Paul, or the Peter rather, says, "The end of all times is at hand." He's addressing our generation. He's addressing the people of the last days. You and me, we're living in those last days. We're living in the closing time. The day is at hand. Amen. The day is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. Here's the counsel of the Lord. First of all, be sober. Be ye therefore sober. The word there describes someone that is temperate and moderate, and a person that isn't flying out of control, but he has peace. He doesn't panic in the situation. And so that's the first admonition, is be sober. Don't panic in your crisis. Amen. That's the natural response to a crisis. That's what people do when they don't know what to do and they're hemmed in a situation that they can't seem to see an answer or a solution. But he says, be sober, or don't panic in the circumstance that you're in. Understand that you are a child of God. Be reminded of the fact that Christ is in the boat with you. And those disciples, the storm was all around them, and they thought sure that the boat was going to go under. They wake Jesus up, who is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. They wake him up. Don't you care, Master? Don't you care that we perish? And Jesus stands up and speaks the words, peace, 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 be still. In the middle of all the storm, the church's response to a crisis is that it's not that we're oblivious to what's going on around us, but we do not have our confidence in the stock market. We do not have our confidence in politics or government. Our confidence is not in the economy. It's not in all these things that are causing frantic and panic in our world today. Our confidence is in Jesus Christ. And he's in the boat. Amen. Amen. And the ship's not going to go down. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you belong to him. Don't panic in the crisis that you're in right now. But just believe that he is going to speak peace into your heart and into your soul and into your crisis. He can bring that storm under control in your life if you'll put your trust in the Lord. So that's the first admonition of Peter to believers and to the church. Don't panic. Amen. Amen. The Lord's in control. You belong to the Lord, and we're his children, and he hasn't forgotten us or forsaken us. So hold on. Be confident. Be steady. Amen. The Lord's in control. Hallelujah. End of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch. Watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. That's the call of God to every one of us. Don't panic, but instead be prayerful. Be prayerful. And it's the word watch there is really a word that describes, don't allow yourself to be distracted. Don't be distracted. Don't allow all these things to become so important to you that you forget the main thing. And the main thing is your walk with God. Your main thing is your relationship with God. The main thing is the call of God that's upon your life. Don't lose your focus upon the things of the Lord. Don't allow all these things, amen, praise the Lord, to distract you. But instead, keep your focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Watch unto prayer. Don't be distracted by all these things. Let me tell you, many times it is the good that's in competition with the best that God has for our life. We make choices and say, well, there's not really anything wrong with what I'm doing. It's okay. It's a good thing, and it may be a good thing, but if it's competing for your life, if it's competing for your time, if it's competing for your focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then the warning from the apostle here is watch. Don't be distracted by things that are all around you. Don't be distracted by anything that's in your life. Don't allow these things to consume your time and your life and your energy, but instead, be focused. Amen. One of the things that has been going on here at the church for a lot of years now is various prayer meetings. the early morning prayer meeting that's been going for more than 10 years now. And then also other prayer meetings. Of course, the midweek service, which is given to much prayer. But also Tuesday morning, there are three, maybe four or five ladies that meet on Tuesday mornings for prayer. Recently, there's been a new prayer meeting started by two or three ladies who felt the need to come together to pray about specific needs, a specific situation. And so they're meeting on Friday mornings, about three ladies. Let me tell you, this is all a move of God. This is all what God has called us to do. And it is the most important thing that we are doing here at First Pentecostal Church. Last night, 21 people at the 6 o'clock prayer meeting, and I believe 11 of them were youth, young people, here at the prayer meeting last night. That is God. That is a move of God. Don't be distracted. You say, oh, but I've got all this to do, and I've got to run here, and I've got that to do, and my time is all, I'm under the demands of time. Don't be distracted from the main thing. That's the admonition. That's what the church does in the hour of crisis. We go to God. We call upon the Lord. Don't allow these things to hinder you or to distract you. But be a person of prayer. Get in the presence of God. Hear from the Lord. And spend that time in the presence of the Lord. And get involved in this prayer effort. And if the Lord puts it upon your heart for some other type of a prayer ministry or a prayer meeting, it's always in order. Just come and talk to me about it. Make sure that we're not, you know, don't have something else going at that particular time. But we've got lots of time and lots of availability for prayer and for calling upon the Lord. Take advantage of it. Amen. Glory to God. That's how the church responds to a crisis. Amen. Therefore, be therefore sober. Don't panic. But watch unto prayer. Be focused. Be focused. And then in verse 8, and above all. Now, when the Bible says above all, that means this is the priority. This is the most important thing. So let's not overlook this above all in this text. Verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. What does that mean? It means have on fire fervent love for each other in the body of Christ. That this has to be an environment where there is such a love for one another. And I'm not talking about something mushy, gushy, and you know, where we have to hug each other all the time and it's all this sentimental stuff. I'm talking about genuine love. Fervent love. Amen. Amen. That there is this fire in your heart for the body of Christ and for the potential of the body of Christ. The scripture says here that this kind of love shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, does it mean that we have the power to forgive sins? No, it doesn't. But it does mean, and the real message of this verse, this above all verse here, is that in the body of Christ, we love one another with such an intensity and such a concern for one another that we do away with all grudges, with all bitterness, with all hurt feelings, with all offenses. Everything is to be removed because it is in and through a united body that the Holy Ghost is going to fall upon. The Spirit of the Lord is going to fall upon that group that's in one mind, in one accord, and in one place. They have one focus in there. It's the body of Christ with this fervent love for one another. So much to so that this love will cover a multitude of sins. It just doesn't mean that it is we've actually been able to wash those sins away. That's only done through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it does mean we love one another so much that we don't pay all attention to all the little flaws and the little areas of mistakes and shortcomings that everybody has. And by the way, we've all got them. Every one of us. We all make mistakes. We all have our weaknesses. We all fail. We all have areas where if you want to, you can focus on that person and say, boy, I tell you what, They're wrong. Sometimes you even, can call someone and say, I don't know about that person. They just offend me, or they hurt my feelings, or they did this to me. And of course, when you call people, you're saying things like, well, the only reason I'm calling you is so you can pray about this with me. But all the while, we know what you're doing. You're spreading it around a little bit. You're bringing divisiveness in the body of Christ. And it's when there's this wonderful spirit of unity and this fervent love, this on fire love, where you love one another, that covers the multitudes of sins. It doesn't mean you don't see them. It just means you don't allow that to distract you from loving them anyway. You don't allow that to hinder you from caring about them and ministering to them and allowing this fervent love to bind us together. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Unity is a mighty and a powerful thing in the body of Christ. Amen. And a world that's in crisis needs to find a church that has one mind, one accord, that in this place there is fervent love, and that we love one another. They don't need to come into a place where there's divisiveness, or there's hurt feelings or offenses, and that we live carrying our feelings on our sleeve. But instead, we let this love be so powerful that it covers all the flaws and all the weaknesses and the shortcomings of our brothers and sisters. We don't allow that to be the focus. Our focus is on the body of Christ being united together so we can experience a last day outpouring of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. I believe that the last days will be characterized and is characterized by the potential for an outpouring of God's Spirit. Amen. A last day revival that will bring in the last day harvest, this latter rain of the Holy Ghost that comes, but it'll only come and only fall upon that church that is united together. Amen. With fervent love. Psalm 33, verse 1, 2, and 3 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Then it gives two comparisons in verse 2 and verse 3. It is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, and even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. That ointment that symbolized the Spirit of God. That ointment that symbolized God's favor and God's touch upon that serpent, upon that person, or that minister, and that anointing that flowed down upon that priest as he would minister, and it would be obvious that the presence of God was upon him. There was this glow, amen, as a result of unity, amen. And then the other comparison is as the dew of Hermon. Verse 3, the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. This was a desert region, but the dew would come, and when the dew would come, then every plant in the wilderness, in the desert, would perk up. There are some plants that you just give them the slightest amount of water. I don't know much about plants, but I do know this. You can give them, and you can almost see it right before your eyes, that it responds to the water. That's what it's talking about here. As the dew of Hermon, it just settles in upon that desert region, suddenly comes to life. That's what unity is like. That's what this wonderful presence of God can accomplish. It can cause there to be the glory of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord, and it brings life. That's what it's saying here. It says, the Lord commands blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. Unity will cause there to be the presence of God upon a body of Christ and the church. And even a local church, there can be such a presence of God upon a united force for God that you can see that God is working. God is blessing and he's moving in that situation. Praise the Lord. Above all, fervent charity. How do we respond in a time like this? How do we respond in crisis times? Number one, be sober. Number two, be focused. Amen. Be focused. Number three, be united. Get together. Get together. Bind together for a common purpose and a common cause. Hallelujah. Verse number 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You notice it says, use hospitality. Use hospitality. Use opportunities to have an intimate fellowship with people whereby you are able to communicate the love of God, sometimes communicate the gospel, able to minister to people in their needs in a one-on-one or in a small little group setting, that you're able to minister to them and to help them. And many times these type of things are arranged by God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We were blessed this week to be able to go to Gatlinburg. I'm not really a Gatlinburg person, but it's the closest place to go, so that's where we went. We drove down there Monday evening, and, you know, everything's going great, driving down the road. Everything's wonderful. Getting ready to get off the exit there that takes you down to Gatlinburg, and suddenly I heard a noise in the car. And I threw a belt off, and actually what had happened was the water pump had locked up. By the way, that's the third, or maybe the fourth, water pump that I've had to deal with that car. But anyway, here we are, pulling off the side of the road, and thankfully there was a convenience store, a gas station. It wasn't a service station, but it was a place to get off the road. There we were there. Actually, Marcia and I, we've been going through a few little trying situations lately, and we really just kind of smiled and laughed, like, okay, here's some more. Here's another situation. What's going to happen next? You know that God, He has divine appointments for us. Divine appointments for us. If we'll just allow the Lord to work in our situation. Went in the store, young guy, 19, 20 years old, working behind the counter, told him what was going on, and he took a little interest, and he got in his wallet, and he said, now here's a guy that's a mechanic about 4 miles from here, and he's good. I don't think he's too expensive. So this was 5:30 in the evening. So I take the card and I look at it and it says, Grandpa's Auto Repair. I don't have anything against Grandpa's, but I didn't know what to think about Grandpa's Auto Repair. But anyway, we made a call and it wasn't too long. Here came Grandpa. And to look at our car, and he immediately knew what was wrong with it. He said, just tow it over to my place and I'll work on it. I'll get you on the road. I said, you mean tonight? Most mechanics are closed by that time. Yeah, I'll take care of it. I'll get you back on the road tonight. And so I was impressed with that. Tow it to Grandpa's house. He's got a garage out there beside the car. Marcia and I sit on the front porch while Grandpa's out in the garage working on our car. And Marcia turned to me and said, don't we have adventures? Isn't this something? We're 4 miles out in the middle of nowhere in East Tennessee at Grandpa's house getting our car worked on. We get to talking to Grandma was there. And four little grandkids are there. And we begin to talk to them and find out that they have custody of those little grandchildren. That their son was electrocuted a couple years before, died. And after a little bit, I began to think, Lord, is this a divine appointment? Have you arranged this? Is this a divine appointment? Had, you know, just a little bit of an opportunity there to talk to him. By the way, he had it fixed in 1 hour. When I went out to his garage to look around, I thought, I better go check out and see what he's doing to my car. Every tool was in place. The place was perfectly clean, meticulous, and I felt better about Grandpa as I saw what he did. In 1 hour, he had the car fixed, had us up on the road, and ever since we've left there, I've felt like, Lord, that was a divine appointment, and I need to get back with these people. I need to talk to them. I need to reach out to them because they've had a crisis, and I could tell by their conversation. As soon as I told them I was a preacher, and I'm used to this. People do this all the time. As soon as they find out you're a preacher, then they start talking about the good Lord, and that their conversation turns toward as spiritual of conversation as they can come up with. But I could tell these people didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the Lord, but they need the Lord. They need the Lord. And you know that the Lord can arrange situations right in the middle of your crisis where you can minister to somebody and you can reach out to somebody and you can use hospitality. You can use an occasion to minister to someone in their need. And that's exactly what he's saying to do. If there's anything that is contrary to what's going on in the world, when the world gets in a crisis, they're only thinking about survival. They're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about other people. But during a crisis time, people are in need everywhere. Everywhere. And you have the great opportunity to even open up the doors of your home and minister to people and bless them and use hospitality one to another. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Number four, be hospitable. Be hospitable. Verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, this verse is not just talking about money, or it's not just talking about spiritual gifts. It's talking about whatever that God has given you. Whatever that, however God has blessed you, whatever gifts he has given to you, amen. As every man hath received the gift, every one of us. You may not have what others have. You may not have the abilities that others have. But every one of us have received a gift. And it's the will of God that in a crisis time that you be a giver. That you bless people. That you minister to people. Amen. That you be a steward of what God has given to you. Not only in financial ways, but in every way possible. Meeting needs. Ministering to people. Both in the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ. Ministering to people in a crisis hour. Be a person who is reaching out and touching the lives of people. Amen. So whatever gifts or whatever abilities that God has given to you, whatever it is that you possess, then understand that you are a steward. It's really God's property. It belongs to him, and then be used of the Lord to minister to others and to give to others in crisis times. Hallelujah. It's in a crisis time when the church shines. Amen. It's in the crisis time that the church is able to step up and minister and to help and to bless and to be used of the Lord to touch the lives of people who are going through their crisis. Amen. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Or if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. And that's the sixth point here. I had to work on these to come up with all these, but be anointed. Be anointed. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you're a preacher, if you're a teacher, or when you speak or testify for the Lord, have a word from God. Amen. Let it be an utterance from God. This verse literally means, speak as if God was the one there speaking. An utterance from the Lord. As oracles from God. As God was speaking. Be a vessel that God can use so that your words can be words used to bless. Be anointed of God. If you speak, let it be of the oracles of God. If you minister, then let it be the ability which God gives. Amen. Serving and ministering in whatever capacity that God has given to you or called you. Be anointed of God so that your work is not just a labor or a duty, but instead you are ministering under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, you talk about making a difference in a crisis time when the church gets a hold of the reality of the presence of God. You know what a crisis does? A crisis drives you to God. It drives you to the presence of God. The only other thing that can happen is it can drive you to bitterness. It can drive you to resentment. But crisis needs to drive you to the Lord and to the presence of the Lord and into prayer and to calling upon the Lord and asking the Lord, Lord, help me. Amen. And as I go through this, Lord, help me. Help me not to panic. Help me to keep my focus, Lord, upon you. Help me, Lord, not just to think about myself, but to think about all the body of Christ. Help us to be united together, Lord, in a common purpose. Now, Lord, help me to be hospitable and to care and to reach out to people in their need and to take advantage of opportunities that I have, and then to give whatever it is that you've given to me, whatever gifts or talents or abilities that I have from you, Lord, that I can use it for the glory of God. Use it to build the kingdom. And then, Lord, we need your anointing. We need your anointing. Amen. Amen. You know, sermons only go so far. Sermons have their value. You can build sermons. You can study and try to prepare sermons. And it's a worthwhile and a wonderful thing to do. But the most precious and the wonderful thing that can happen is whenever you spend time before the Lord and the Lord talks to you and speaks to you. And when you're speaking, you know, I'm speaking for God. I'm speaking for the Lord. You know, that can happen in a Sunday school class. That can happen in an LCA classrooms. That can happen in every opportunity that God gives you to minister or to speak or to be used of the Lord as a testimony. Lord, anoint me for this task. Amen. Glory to God. It makes the difference in these crisis times. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. We want his name to be glorified, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Oh, Lord Jesus, these are crisis times. And Lord, the church of Jesus Christ, help us, Lord, to respond in a different way than the world does. Help us, Lord, to see the circumstance differently, to be the kind of people that you've called us to be. Lord, to be prepared and ready, because the end of all things is at hand. Surely around the corner, Lord, very, very soon, changes are coming. Trying times, even more difficult times. Crisis, Lord, even greater and more intense. Maybe even persecution against the church and believers. But Lord, help us. Lord, strengthen us. Give us, Lord, the courage and the grace and the power to be able to respond in the right way in these crisis times. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to make this altar call for some of you that may be personally in a real crisis. And I want to challenge you today to hear the word of the Lord and don't panic. Hallelujah. Don't panic. You belong to the Lord. Don't be distracted, but pray. Step up your times of prayer, your effort in prayer. Call upon the Lord. This is a call of God. The church responds to crisis by going into the closet of prayer, going to times of prayer, seeking the Lord, even with fastings. Hallelujah. And some of you that are in a crisis of whatever kind, I may not know, I probably don't know, but I want to challenge you today to respond to the Lord. If you're here today, and first of all, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not a Christian, you don't know where you stand with the Lord, then I want to invite you to come to this altar. Be courageous and step forward and let the Lord change your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You need the Lord in your life. Why not invite him in today? Hallelujah. And then others of you that you're just about at that place. You're just about at that place of panic. You don't know what to do. You know what you need to do? You just need to wake up Jesus. I'm not saying he's asleep. I'm just saying you need to turn to him. He's right there with you. You just need to turn to the Lord. He's the one that can speak peace into your situation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If there are any of you here at the service today and you really need the help of the Lord, and God by His Spirit is speaking to your heart, you know that God is speaking directly to your need and your situation, I just want to ask you to step forward. Come on down here to the altar. Amen. This is where the church shines, praying for one another, lifting one another up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your trust in the Lord here today. He'll help you. He will help you. Praise the Lord. Oh, we do thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.